All right, hello and welcome to today's episode of Rock and Roll. It's the enrollment marketing podcast created by Vision Point Marketing. I'm Kelly Glendinning. I'm an account director here, and I'm joined today by Matt Walters. He is Vision Point's Chief Services Officer. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Kelly, good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Before we get going, would love to just hear a little bit about what you do with the company. Do you mind telling everyone about your role here at Vision Point?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Chief Services Officer, I work closely with all of our service departments. So the folks that do the work, so to speak, we have a strategy team, a media team, a creative team, a digital experience and analytics team, and an enrollment and CRM strategy group. And so those departments together make up our services division. And yeah, we're just focused on doing great work that helps accomplish our client partners' goals. I've been with the company for about 10 years, and I've been in higher education my whole career. So fundraising, communications, marketing, advancement, you name it. I thought I wanted to be a professor and then realized I'm much better, I think, at helping schools with the more of this institutional strategy side than in the classroom. But yeah, just love higher education, and Vision Point's been a wonderful fit for me all these years.
All right, we are calling today's episode, What Would We Do? We have a randomizer wheel with institution types on it, like community colleges, MBA programs, four-year colleges, and all that. And then we have another wheel with different challenges that institutions may face. So, you ready to get started, Matt? We'll dive
Yeah,
in.
let's do it. Let's do it. It'll be fun.
All right, first one, here we go. We do the randomizer here. All right. We got four-year regional institution with a yield problem. What comes to mind there for you? Take a few seconds if you need to collect your thoughts and think about it.
Yeah, I'm writing it down so I don't forget. Okay, so a four-year regional institution with a yield problem.
Yes.
All right. This is fun, by the way. I like that we're doing this approach. With services agencies like ours, I think a lot of times we can spend too much time talking about like all of the things we can do, but it really is about solving these kinds of challenges. So this is cool. All right. So a four-year regional with a yield problem. I think the first thing to say is yield has gotten so much more difficult. It's just so much harder to yield a class than it used to be. Used to be that, by the time someone made the decision to apply, I mean, folks were applying for maybe to a few schools, but for the most part, you were applying. And then, when you got that admit decision, there was a really good chance that you were going to show up. And certainly by the time people deposited and made some of those early steps, that was a good indication that your class was going to show up. Nowadays, that's no longer the case. All the audience out there from four-year regionals or any kind of four-year institution, you'll know, a few years ago, NACAC changed the rules. The gloves are off. Schools are competing for your students all the way up through and past the point at which they've gotten off to a successful start. Students are applying to more schools than ever. Common App has made it so easy to apply to many, many, many institutions. So that application or even your admit decision and your award to them really is no bearing on the fact that they're going to necessarily show up and enroll. So we talk about this a lot, that admit decision is really just like a new starting line. And so the race is on at that point. So I think there are two keys to a strong yield strategy. And the benefit here is that in both cases, we've got a captive audience. You know a lot about these students by the time that they've applied to your institution and you've made that admit decision. So you have a ton of their information. And not only do you have what they've literally told you about themselves and their application, but if you've done your work in the upper funnel well, ideally, you have observed a lot of things about these students and you've captured that in the CRM based on the types of web content they've consumed and how they may have engaged with the institution before the point of that application. So you know a lot about these people at this point. So I think the first prong of the strategy is really about leveraging your CRM for really smart lead nurturing communications. And this is a great chance for enrollment marketers to partner well with our admissions counterparts to your colleagues in admissions, because they're going to be doing a lot of relational recruitment during this time. And so what we focus on as marketers is how do we set up and to the best we can automate a really strong kind of best practice communication sequence, leveraging not just email, but also text message, even some like direct mail, you know, all the different ways that we'd want to be in contact with these folks to complement that relational outreach that those counselors are doing. And really the goal here is to be helpful. So you want to help these students get off to a successful start at your institution. Everything is framed through at that point, like, you know, you've admitted them, and now you're trying to woo them by helping them. So I think those types of yield focused communications are critical. You're focused on really helping them take those next steps. Institutions that have really strong CRMs in place, like Slate, for example, if schools are using a CRM like Slate, Slate makes it possible to use portals so that students have kind of a logged in digital experience through which they can take all of those key actions you want them to take as they go from that kind of finding out about their admit all the way through to a successful start. So kind of that arena for moving them through being there in the Slate portal, and then you can use those communications to keep bringing those prospects back. Schools that do this really well gamify it a little bit. You know, how do you turn it into a game and incentivize students taking those next steps? So that really helps. So I think that's one big kind of part of the strategy, is just leveraging that CRM to complement what those recruiters are doing with relational outreach, automate it as much as possible, and take all that insight we have about these prospects to personalize those communications, make them specific to prospects' interests, what they want to do, and do it all with a posture of help. I think that's key. The second big sort of prong of the strategy, and this is one that I think most institutions kind of overlook this, is to continue to target these students and their households with paid advertising. So a lot of times the paid spend is really focused on generating the lead or maybe getting to the application. And then marketers sort of pull back. And from that point forward, it's kind of the admissions team's job. And if we are supporting at all, it's with CRM related content, like I was just speaking to. But actually, we have a really tremendous opportunity to continue to build affinity between that prospect and your institution. Again, we're still trying to win them. They haven't made that decision necessarily to choose us just because we've admitted them. So continuing to be in front of them with messaging that is more and more oriented toward kind of the student experience, and a little bit more messaging like you're talking to, it's kind of the presumptive close in sales. Like at this point, you're communicating with these folks as if they're going to show up, and you're building excitement for that. But continuing to hustle after that interest is really important. So affinity campaigns that target those students and also their households, their influencers, are really, really important during this stage. And the good news is, you know, even small percentage point increases in the deeper funnel and that yield or melt prevention window of time can equate to what might cost tens of thousands of dollars in the upper funnel to generate the number of leads that you would need to make up for like a leak in the funnel deeper in this experience. So I really encourage institutional partners that even getting just like some of the fundamentals better covered in your yield effort, even if it makes just a small percentage point or two difference in your ultimate enrollment outcomes, that can be huge in terms of return value to the institution. So yield is a hard game to play these days, but a lot of opportunity to get it right and improve the fundamentals of what you're doing and lead to some really tremendous outcomes. And we've done this for a lot of institutional partners over the years helped them with this type of thing. One that comes to mind is UC Davis out in California. They asked us, they're a slate institution. They asked us to help them with their yield strategy. And so we did exactly this type of strategy of both kind of really strong CRM driven lead nurturing communications all the way through successful start and even into the first term, and also paid advertising for affinity building through. We actually started it at the application stage. So we didn't even wait for the admit decision. So we were targeting folks that ultimately the institution wasn't going to accept, but still targeting them with that kind of affinity building advertising. Because hey, even if you don't accept these students as incoming freshmen, that doesn't mean they may not be transfer students a year or two down the line. So, and ultimately UC Davis through that work, that first year of our doing that with them, they actually exceeded their enrollment projections by more than 3,000 students. It was just a massive, massive haul by improving their yield outcomes. So really exciting work. My heart goes out to the four-year institutions that are hustling for that. Yeah, it's such a hard challenge these days. We totally appreciate that, but want to encourage enrollment marketers and enrollment folks that it really, you can move the needle in some big ways by getting your blocking and tackling right in that yield phase.
I'm even thinking about some of the clients that I get to work with as well. And one for me, we're actually actively pursuing some stuff with yield, and we're doing an event targeting for their admitted students day. And so we're going to do some build up to that day. We've got a list of those admitted students, you know, putting those into a meta campaign, making sure they get there. And then of course, once they're there, we can then geofence and serve them more ads about things like FAFSA applications to get them further down the funnel. So many creative ways that you can use digital, but also the CRM, SEO to really drive those students through the funnel and ultimately lead to enrollment, which is what we like to see. All right.
Supporting those events, that's a great note too. I'm glad you brought that up. Like that's one of the beauties of working on Yield is that it lets you kind of go directly to those campus partners who also have a need to offer helpful communications to these prospective students. So you think about like, yeah, your admissions folks, your financial aid office, but even like student support and advising services that want to help students get off to a successful start, the departments themselves, you know, the faculty and the programs that students intend to major in often want to communicate information to students. And so if an enrollment marketer looks to sort of build strong relationships with all of those campus partners and pull that together to one seamless communication strategy, it helps make sure that we're doing that in a best practice way and not just like we're blasting students from every side of the institution and the right hand doesn't know what the left is doing. That can be really overwhelming and have kind of a detrimental effect. So I love that idea about supporting events and bringing those campus partners who are a part of the process into the strategy, working on something that's kind of well coordinated. That's really key.
Absolutely. All right. You ready for situation two?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let me get my randomizer going here. Okay, next we've got, all right, an online program with a brand positioning problem. So what could you see us doing here as an agency partner to help solve this challenge?
An online program with a brand positioning problem. Interesting. Okay, let me think about this for a moment. Online programs with brand positioning problem. So positioning is interesting too. So let's say there are a couple of ways like a brand positioning problems can show up. Sometimes that's the online program's brand promise needs to relate in some way to the larger institutional brand promise, but also be distinctive for the value that the online programs offer students. And sometimes that's not well positioned. Of course, there's competitive positioning, you know, how distinct are you from your competitors? And then sometimes it's just like, frankly, the brand positioning problem is really more of a brand awareness problem. Like maybe you have compelling things to say and you don't have enough awareness. And with online programs, especially schools with any sort of budget, you know, your recruitment footprint theoretically is anywhere nationally, internationally. So we know that most students in online programs are still drawn from a pretty tight radius around the physical campus, if there is a physical campus, but that doesn't mean that most online programs, at least our client partners, want to begin to fish in new waters and kind of expand their recruitment footprint. So how do you make those decisions about, hey, it's going to cost money to go into some new market where we don't have a great recruiting footprint and build brand awareness? That's going to cost. So how do we know how to do that well? So yeah, lots of ways to talk about brand positioning problems for online programs. I think one thing to say is that, first off, again, the online program's brand does need to have a kind of strong tie back to the institutional brand. But institutional brands can be articulated in ways that get to the value of this type of program to the audience that you're trying to serve. And of course, students that are going to be in online programs are different in many ways from students that are looking to enroll face-to-face. We had this challenge with the University of Arkansas. We were their the marketing and strategy partner for University of Arkansas Online. So all of the institutions' online programs across all of their schools and departments at both the undergraduate and the graduate level, as well as some certificates. And they have a central team that's working on kind of the brand awareness and the recruitment strategy to support all those campus units. So we worked through this with them. We actually developed kind of a University of Arkansas Online specific brand platform that tied back to the campus. One of the things about Arkansas, even though they're a massive flagship four-year public, but they have a real sort of caring posture. That's a really important part of the institutional brand. They care about their students in individual ways. There are a number of ways that shows up. Like on campus, every student that graduates from the University of Arkansas gets their name inscribed on a brick. And they have like this kind of walk that I think they call it the Razorback Walk or something like that as part of graduation. So lots of little touches like that, where every student kind of is inscribed in their place in the institution. So the online brand, they wanted to be true to that. And they have a lot of really interesting support infrastructure in place to help students succeed, way, way more than what you would expect at most institutions, credit to them. So we needed to come up with a brand position that was true to that institutional brand. It also had to be flexible and scalable. Like one of the things we're talking about online programs, especially if you're like an online division where you have many, many programs, a student that's looking to be a prospective student in a graduate business program is very different from someone who's looking toward an undergraduate healthcare degree. So these campaigns have to be really flexible and scalable. So for Arkansas, we came up with a campaign concept together with them. We called it the In It For You campaign. And essentially the tagline, the spirit of the campaign is, whatever you're in it for, we're in it for you. So you might be motivated to do X, Y, or Z. Regardless of that motivation, you are our motivation. That was kind of the spirit of the campaign. And that was nice because for a nursing student, we could say, you're in it for your patients, or you're in it to save lives, we're in it for you. Or for a business student, it's like, you're in it for the corner office, we're in it for you. So that brand position that's flexible, speaks to something that truly is distinctive about your offering that you can back up with proof points around. Again, how are we in it for you as a student? They had really compelling things to say. It wasn't just like a, hey, we're student centered, in a kind of shallow way that lots of schools kind of fall back on, making sure it's tied in well with the larger institutional brand. That type of creative posture, I think, is really important. And for Arkansas, that was an incredibly successful campaign. They shattered enrollment records with that campaign, maxed out enrollment in a number of programs. We even helped them kind of prioritize which programs deserved like program specific investment and spend versus which ones can be grouped together and messaged about in a collective way. But just a really, really successful campaign there. So I think that's advice. You know, bit of advice number one would be to make sure the brand is specific to the audience that you're reaching, but tied back to the university brand in a really a compelling way. But I think the other thing, just to quickly say, I won't spend as much time on this, but the brand positioning problem of like kind of building brand awareness and positioning you well relative to competitors when you want to expand your footprint, I think is a really important challenge for a lot of online programs. We helped tackle this challenge with University of Arizona Online a few years ago. Arizona sits there. They're overshadowed by Arizona State. I mean, Arizona State, everybody knows Arizona State. They are one of the blue bloods of online education, just a massive, massive brand. And so we did a similar bit of work with Arizona Online to articulate their brand promise. We made sure it was distinct from Arizona State, but also like tied into what the larger University of Arizona brand was all about. Worked on expressions of that for key online student audiences. But one of the things they wanted to do is like, we've got to also get out from underneath the thumbprint of Arizona State. We need to look to some other markets. And so we helped them shape a market strategy to find pockets around the country where this more expensive work to build brand awareness, where we had like better confidence that it would deliver a return to the institution. So what we did was we layered a few factors on top of one another. So the first thing we did was we looked at where around the country do we see little pockets of University of Arizona alumni. Didn't matter if they were on campus or online, but like University of Arizona alumni, because where alumni live in good concentration, that's a pretty good proxy for a certain baseline level of brand awareness. So we observed where those places were around the country. The second was we looked at where do we see large concentrations of their target audience? So for example, Arizona Online, they do a great job serving military students. So we looked at where do we see large populations of military students. The third was we looked at where do we see lower funnel interest in University of Arizona Online programs, meaning we looked at like organic web traffic to their program pages. Because if people are searching organically and they're all the way down to exploring your programs, then they're probably a little further along in their interest in your institution. We layered that. And then finally, we looked at just demand, like search demand for keywords related to online education. And where all four of those kind of matched up, we circled some pockets, some key regions around the country where like we have a pretty good mix of all four of those factors coming together. And so we recommended an outreach strategy to go build brand awareness for this better articulated brand in these key pockets around the country. And again, that project was, you know, incredibly successful. Arizona was able to grow their online enrollment significantly and start to build some new recruiting kind of footprints in these different places around the country. So I think that's key. It's expensive, you know, to market online programs. All of our audience will know that. So you really can't afford to waste money, but we do know we've got to begin to fish in some new waters. So I think factoring that cost of building brand awareness and having an actual strategy for where can you minimize that cost by getting the best possible return, that's a really important strategic consideration, I think.
I love that. And from an account director's perspective, when I watched our strategy team conduct one of those target market analyses, I don't know how you would say that, but I love, it's just like very mad scientist, you know, it's just like, all right, here's a map of the United States. Where do we need to be? And the ability though, that you guys have to hone in on those markets and find the untapped markets that they can then leverage and differentiate themselves for, as you mentioned with Arizona, their competitor. And I love witnessing that. That's a super fun thing to watch, you know, as an account director who's involved, but not the one actually doing the work. And then also just to your first point, you know, talking about leveraging maybe more of the main campus's reputation or branding to really drive what you're doing on the online side. I get to work with the University of Akron, and I think that it is key to like the ability that we have because we're doing both the main campus and their online, the synergy that we're able to create. And it's even just a little nuance when you have your hands in both and you're talking, it's different stakeholders, you know, a different marketing team, admissions team that you're working with, a different slate instance, everything. it's still those conversations that you can have. Okay, the main campus is pushing this month. What can the UA Online do to, you know, still be part of this, but be their own entity? And I love having that perspective of both. And I think it's super unique. So whenever we get the opportunity to work with both, like the actual main campus in-person learning for TUG or adult learners, but then you also get to do the online, that's just like where the magic happens. And I love getting to work on that project because it's like they lift each other. And when one's doing well, so is the other. And I love to see that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's exciting too when, you know, when you work with the institutions and when they finally put their finger on, okay, this is going to be, this is where we like, this is the position we want. We want to own this brand position. So again, like the Arkansas caring position, like that caring posture, they went to great lengths to make sure they were doing things that would deliver on that brand promise. And you can, I think it's so tempting to fall back on cliches, and we're always trying to push past the cliches. I mean, lots of people want to talk about they care for their students. So that doesn't mean you can't talk about that if it's true, but you've got to prove that out. Another example, we worked with the College of Charleston's MBA program, as well as their HR master's program. They had a significant brand challenge in that they were a relatively new program. They didn't really have a clear brand position or much brand awareness. They decided that they really wanted to own the promise that we our grads get hired. Like, we will place our grads in meaningful jobs. They're going to get hired. You're going to be in demand. And instead of just like fingers crossed, hopefully that pans out, they decided to invest all sorts of academic, student support, and even marketing resources in that promise. So for example, one of the things that we did as their marketing partner, they, you know, we looked at for your HR master's program, okay, where do we see groups of HR professionals who would be hiring managers at major companies? Where do they congregate, either theoretically or literally? And there are several conferences, like big conventions every year, where HR professionals come together from some of the largest, like Fortune 500 companies. One of those one year was happening in Denver. And so what we did was we geofenced the convention center where the conference was happening, but we also geofenced the Denver airport in like the 2 days leading up to the conference. And we cross-referenced those lists. So anybody that was in the airport for a couple of days and then also at this convention center, it's a pretty good chance they're an HR professional. And so built a list and then did direct list targeting of those folks with paid ads, emphasizing College of Charleston's like quality grads and their readiness for the workforce. And long story short, they ended up winning a top 10 in the country, like national recognition for the employability of their graduates. Just a wonderful example of deciding like, this is our position. We are going to be known for this. And then leaning into that, investing resources into making that promise come true. So really encourage any folks out there listening about thinking about brand position at all, but certainly for online programs, push past the cliches, decide on something of concrete value to your students that you can own, and then have the courage to invest into that. The marketing sort of takes care of itself if there's a real promise there to promote.
I'm still hung up on the fact that you guys geofenced the airport. That's brilliant. That's incredible. I haven't done that yet. And I could nerd out about that. So we won't get in the weeds there, but that's like, wow, just going like a step beyond to keep top of mind for those people. That's excellent. All right. We're at our last one. Oh my goodness. Time has flown. You ready for the third?
Let's do it.
Third and final. Here we go. Randomizer. All right. We've got community college with a lead gen problem. What would we do here as vision pointers to help them with this hurdle, with this issue, to get those lead generation campaigns up and running and ultimately lead to more names in their CRM to get them rolling?
Community college with a lead gen problem. This is like the opposite challenge of what we were just talking about, where online programs that can recruit from anywhere, community colleges typically have much tighter, much more fixed service areas that they are built to serve. So yeah, you're limited in the sense that that's the geography and the population that you have to work with, and you want to draw leads from that population. A lot of times too, community colleges have to overcome their own kind of brand challenge. So lead gen starts with awareness building and then goes to like actual direct response lead gen activity. And the brand challenge for a lot of community colleges is usually one of kind of two flavors. Either there's a lot of stigma, misperception. We still hear all the bad narratives about community colleges that are just silly, frankly, where people think it's like a fallback option, or you know, have quality questions. So a lot of times there's a real like stigma to overcome with the messaging to get people to pay close attention. But I frankly see that lesson. I think that's lessening now. I think community colleges are doing such an amazing job, and the world's changing their attitude around that. So I think that's encouraging. The other brand challenge is a lot of these community colleges have been there in those communities for decades, and they're just kind of part of the backdrop of the community, and people think they know whatever there is to know about the community college when actually they don't. They don't have an appreciation for like the quality of the offerings, the many, many types of careers that people can pursue through a community college education, and like the tremendous jumping off point community colleges are to four-year education. So I think that from a messaging strategy standpoint, what we try to encourage community college partners to do is to not make the message primarily about all of your programs that you have to offer, because a lot of times people that might be thinking about kind of pursuing a new opportunity for themselves professionally, or maybe they're like a non-traditional student, and for whatever reason, life twists and turns, they didn't go straight from high school to college and on that traditional path, and they need to find their way back. The idea of like, we have all these things you can do, and I don't even know what I want to do with my future, that can be very overwhelming. So we try to say, make it clear first the types of potential job avenues there are, career possibilities that there are. And oh, by the way, we have these jobs, or we have these programs that can help you pursue these types of jobs. So putting the emphasis on the opportunity and secondarily on the program, as opposed to here's all of our breadth of programs and you figure out through that what the opportunities are for you, is a really important kind of messaging strategy for community colleges. But I think from a lead gen standpoint, also a lot of community college partners underestimate what a difference it can make if you can organize your website to be a really strong sales oriented, for lack of a better word, like digital experience platform for these prospects. And so for a couple of our partners, you know, we've really focused on, okay, let's organize your website to make it very easy to see first the possible pathways. And a lot of community colleges have worked hard on guided pathways of different really like industry categories of jobs and opportunities. And then showcase some of the careers that someone can pursue. Make it possible, make it easy with a button click to indicate which types of careers might be interesting. Pull in information from, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics about the projected career growth and average salaries in your areas. A lot of website platforms can leverage data from sources like Lightcast and display all of that dynamically. Make it possible for students to indicate what they might be interested in. And then the biggest thing is that is generating the lead. Like if you offer a compelling vision of what might be possible for these students with messaging that encourages them to believe it's possible, just by their telling you, okay, I think I might like this kind of career or that, they are inquiring about the institution without you having to literally say, request more information. You can get students to do a lot through, little quizzes to assess how their skills profile might translate to different jobs. So any type of like helpful content that you can offer that gets students moving toward possibilities that they could pursue. And then along the way, you know, you're capturing their information. And the key is to then follow up in a way that's tied to those interests. So To kind of get past the theoretical, we did this for a couple of our partners. National Park College is one down in Arkansas. We also did this with the College of the Albemarle here in our state out in the Outer Banks. We set up little like microsites because redesigning the whole website was a non-starter. That cost a lot of money. So we set up a little microsite called kind of a possibilities microsite. We showcased the top 30 or 40 jobs in those communities that were growing, where they had, you know, attractive salaries. We organized them categorically to make it easy to navigate. And we said, hey, what types of opportunities interest you? And we stood up these schools. Many times community colleges don't have expensive CRM platforms, or if they do, maybe they're underutilizing them, but you can do a lot with like MailChimp. You know, you can use really cheap email service platforms. Set it up so that if a student says, hey, I'm interested in being a radiology tech, I'd love to learn more about that. Okay, you've got a 2 or 3 message sequence that they're going to receive over the next week or two that just shares more about a career in radiology tech and maybe has a bit of insight from one of the faculty members in the program that's a, you know, radiology tech themselves. And then, of course, you're encouraging the application, you're encouraging the registration. If you have teams on campus, many community colleges don't, but if you have something like an admissions team with people who can proactively make a call or reach out by text or an advisor or a counselor who can do that, or even the faculty themselves to make that outreach, before you know it, the numbers of leads that you can have inbound from that type of activity would astound you. And notice that none of what I've talked about so far has anything to do with paid advertising spend. Like everything I'm describing can be done organically without a dollar spent in paid advertising. Even better when you can then actually deploy some paid advertising campaigns promoting some of these jobs and driving traffic back to these microsites that are set up this way. But I think with National Park College, we included, you know, I think over a 6-year span, we had, hundreds and hundreds of enrollment related conversions. Costs at 50% below industry averages. 1 year for College of the Albemarle, I think we drove more than 1,000 qualified leads within a 7-county service area. I mean, very small, relatively speaking, service area. So there is just such demand for community college education these days. People are looking to retool. They need to retrain. They need to boost their careers. Community colleges have tremendous offerings. And I think if they can organize those well in a way that doesn't overwhelm the prospects, but makes clear what those different possibilities are, and then have basic lead capture and some email response infrastructure set up in place to respond to those specific interests that prospects might indicate, you can do a tremendous, tremendous job with lead generation, even despite the challenges that community colleges are up against.
There's one thing I am. It's a community college stan. I love it. I have worked with 17 community colleges, believe it or not, now that I've been here at Vision Point. And they have such a unique position in their communities to impact so many such a wide range of learners, but also the community as a whole. So I'm working right now through the John M. Belk Endowment with Wayne Community College and their apprenticeship program. And they are giving course credit for internships with massive companies in North Carolina, like Mount Olive, Smithfields, where you can work and you can get paid and also get your course credit. So it's things like that that we can show these students to then say, hey, I'm going to raise my hand. I want to be a part of this. And it's tapping into those unique offerings. But I also think too, just to your point about those career outcomes, we see that so much with adult learners and through our work with the John M. Belk Endowment, just how crucial that is to speak directly to the issues that they face. Also as adult learners. And so it's the childcare, it's the resource center. It's certain things that separate them from a traditional undergrad student that we might not always think about. And college, going to college anyway is intimidating, but throw on top of that, that you have multiple children and a full-time job and it's it seems sometimes almost impossible. And so it's, you know, in my experience, when you show those adult learners how that institution can support them, and you put that into messaging and how we're going to cater directly to your needs, while also helping you get your education and ultimately lead to, you know, a better job and a great career, then that's how you can get really people through the door and speak to them on a heart level, and have them raise their hand. And I've seen that be so important, and just amazing results that we've seen with that super tailored messaging specifically to adult learners.
Yeah, that's such a great point. The believing it's possible is, it's just, it's key. I mean, to your point, the work with the Belk Endowment, so many institutions, just to say a quick word about that, you know, the Belk Endowment is deeply invested in community college education across our state of North Carolina. So they're working at the system level, really, with groups of institutions. And we're the marketing partner for that effort. It's been amazing. Many of those institutions are in very rural, underserved communities in our state. I mean, I don't know how every state may not work this way, but in North Carolina, we have kind of a tier system to, you know, we have tier one, tier two, tier three counties. And tier one counties are the ones that are the most, socioeconomically distressed, resource challenged. Many of the institutions that we're supporting through the Belk Endowment partnership are those institutions in tier one county service areas. Helping people who have otherwise been marginalized, left behind, out of the higher education picture, helping them believe it's possible, like motivating them to believe it's possible, is, to your point, it's more than half the challenge a lot of times. And so I really appreciate that note, Kelly. That's a great point. I think that helping them with those good examples, those resources that you make available, just that message around, like, it is possible. It is very possible. There are many, many people just like you who have done this. That's so important.
We've covered so much, truly, like every facet of what we do as vision pointers and so many different types of institutions. You crushed it though. So much good information here, Matt. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, that's my pleasure. The randomizer, this is a fun concept. We'll have to do this again. Different types of schools, different types of programs facing different types of challenges. This is what motivates us. And I hope, you know, this came through. Like, it does not take monumental resources a lot of times to really address these challenges. You know, we've got solutions packages that are built just for these. You know, if a partner says, I just have a yield problem. Okay, we have a yield solution. And many, many, many of these can be pursued with, frankly, minimal investment. And even if not an investment in a partnership like ours, you know, we'll talk shop and offer any help we can to any potential institution that might want to talk about these challenges. So I appreciate it. The randomizer is a fun way to dig in.
Of course. And thank you for your time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. If you would like to learn more about how you can team up with us here at Vision Point, or just want to talk shop, like Matt said, you can always email us info@visionpointmarketing.com, or you can check out our website, visionpointmarketing.com. Thanks again, Matt. And we'll catch you guys next time on Rock and Roll.